Welcome, Tea Chats for Lynn with Linda and Friends, October 26th, 2021. Amazing, isn't it? Let me see what's happening around the world. And the interesting thing about how I do these Tuesdays is I've had the courage to just say, okay, I go to bed at night and I put it in my dreams. I reach out and I say, what is it that we're to bring today? And then I just kind of feel, because if I did this logically, if I had a plan for these Tuesdays, it wouldn't be much fun for me. So to see what comes up intuitively out of this, if you could see this, I should turn this around because I have this space. It's about... It's supposed to be the dining room. It's between the living room and kitchen on our upstairs floor, on the second floor. And it's where my library is and a lot of these books. And so I opened this book. These are various studies of Tea Touch that I've collected here in this. And I want to read this to you. Good morning, Becky. Good morning, Mac user. Marnie, hi. Now, this was written in 2012 by Rachel Allen, who is a practitioner. I'm going to put these little glasses on because sometimes it's just a little easier here. It's amazing to feel around. Where are my glasses? Oh, I don't need any except for this kind of thing. Just one moment here. Just check this out. One moment. Make sure I am on my AirPods. Okay. Now we are good to go. So this is what Rachel wrote. The Tellington Tea Touch method was born out of the intuitive process. In the early stages of its development, Linda Tellington Jones, the founder, received the information, remember your perfection. She knew that this phrase would become the cornerstone of the work, the initial intention behind the method for many years. Actually, I didn't know that, of course. It took some time to get to that point. For many years, Linda explained it as to support the act and activate the function of the cells, but she could not expand it further. Through decades, her work expanded and deepened. New discoveries were made about the science of Tellington Tea Touch. New insights and directions were discovered as Linda continued to learn from her intuition and trust the messages, of course, and to see who is drawn to the work, because as various people come to the work, what is so fascinating and say, interesting, you're following these, you're making these lines parallel to the top line. And then it was sometime later that I realized that, oh, I'm following the bladder meridian. And it was really interesting over the years as someone pops in and say, that means, and they have another explanation for what I intuited. Good morning, Jewel. I'm just going to say hi as you come in. And Anna and Ava, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. In trainings, we were taught to use the phrase, remember your perfection, as our intention as we perform the work. But what does it mean? And how do we describe it and experience it on the physical level when it began from a place of spirituality? This has been a part of Linda's profound journey as she transformed the Tellington Tea Touch method from a spark of insight into a global organization with more than 1,500 practitioners in 29 countries. Actually, we now have taught this work that we know of in 39 countries. It's been said by many, and I've witnessed it myself, that Tellington Tea Touch can be experienced on many levels. Consequently, it can be explained on many levels as well. It is not necessary to have a spiritual encounter to perform or receive the benefits of Tea Touch. Certainly, practitioners and recipients do on many levels, but it can also be viewed from a completely scientific perspective with an understanding of quantum physics and the merging of science and spirituality. Remember, for those of you who just joined us, this is something I'm reading, written in 2012 by Rachel Allen, one of our companion animal practitioners. In view of our surroundings and the entire universe as a quantum field where everything is connected, we can see the importance of remember your perfection as the intention. Once we understand the meaning and then hold the intention, it becomes a part of the quantum field. Linda teaches the empowering concept put forth by Greg Braden in The Spontaneous Healing of Belief, that every thought, every feeling, every emotion, and every belief that we have affects the quantum field and therefore the entire universe. We can see clearly from this statement that embodying neutrality and non-judgment while performing the work is significant. If we label and judge behaviors, we essentially box them up with a tag and therefore reduce the chance of change. If we begin the session with remember your perfection, we are creating the circumstance for change to occur. And the thing that I realize today, adding to this, and maybe I said it a long time ago and I've just forgotten, because that's certainly often the case, is there is something that takes this work to another level, and that's what I call the wow factor. When I realize that looking at each one of you and looking at myself, we're a wow. This collection of intelligence. I mean, every time I think that now it's known, like 2000, it's the latest thing that I read in a paper put out by the Dr. Pop Institute, that 2000 functions of every cell are now known. About 12 years ago, I think it was, when I sat with Bruce Lipton with his computer after a presentation, and he showed me this one single picture of one cell on his computer and said there were 100,000 known functions. Is that right? Now I can't remember. A lot. And it's double what they're saying now from this Institute of Biophysics. So it's a lot. Doesn't matter what the number is. But the thing is, the fact that here we are sitting here, this is what I want to just hold out this mirror to you. When we hold up this magical mirror that we can turn and we can see with one side of the mirror, we can see or what we might consider our challenges or limitations or things to work on. And then we turn that mirror around and we see this 100 trillion sparks of light in every cell in this body. That's a wow. And to add this wow factor to what we're doing is really a wow. And I'm going to read a little bit more. This leaves us with the question, what does it mean to remember your perfection? Linda teaches us two interpretations of the phrase. The first, and most easily understood, is that it means to remember your beauty. In a world where the media has created a false importance on vanity and appearance, it is easy to misunderstand this concept. Let us first look at the word perfection. One definition says an ideal instance, a perfect embodiment of a concept. Another definition calls perfect, quote, being complete of its kind and without defect or blemish, unquote. Remember, your perfection is not about being the best or being compared to anything else. The perfection Linda is referring to is the perfection of our true selves, the perfection of our original bliss and peace before we became jaded and were ever judged to be right or wrong. So it's really interesting, and this is her interpretation of what I mean by perfection. And what I actually mean when I think of that is, wow, this ability of our cells to function as they do in communication with all the cells in the body. And that's totally based on this inspiration in a chapter on the development of cells in the spontaneous evolution by Bruce Lipton. And it's so interesting over the years how books have just changed my life. A sentence here or there has changed my life. And I love it if any of you have books like that, that have one statement in the book that made you see life in a different way, see you, yourself in a different way. We need those inspirations. I'm gonna jump over this. Remember your perfection is a message sent directly to the receiver's cells. But how exactly are we bypassing the conscious mind to communicate directly with the cells? In classic T-Touch manner, I will answer that question with a story. Sorry, I'm going to cough here a second. One. Tellington T-Touch instructor Debbie Potts has been teaching training sessions in Japan for several years. She does not speak Japanese and so had a translator to communicate with her students. When she works with the animals, however, she speaks to them in English. Easy now, that's a good dog. Can you take one step? Let's go. And wouldn't you know it, they know what to do. She has no problem communicating with the animals and having them understand her. Yet, these animals have all been taught commands in Japanese. How can this be? The answer is that animals communicate primarily through mental pictures and body language. Debbie's posture, thoughts, and her words are all saying the same thing. And it's not even so much what the words mean, but their feeling and how they're being said. Words are easily understood when spoken with gentleness and confidence in conjunction with a clear picture and a body position to match. Speaking to animals as though they can understand is a core concept of the Tellington method. I'm going to just leave that for a moment, and I'm going to jump over to this book. This book is full, you can see how thick that is, of pages of T-Touch stories. And I just opened this to this one for an effective T-Touch. And the fact that, you know, like, what do we use this T-Touch for? I mean, And for me, the answer is for having at our fingertips the possibility to help ourselves in many ways. And basically to relieve fear and reduce pain. And out of that comes a sense of well-being. I want you to put this word, wow. just put it in your back pocket. Wow, what part of me is a wow? And so this is ear work for anaphylactic shock. This is written by Jane Ritter. After being stung by yellow jackets, a woman uses ear work on herself while awaiting emergency care. And now, of course, we call it ear T-Touch instead of ear work. In September 1995, I was working in our woods in a very isolated location. I stepped into a buried yellow jacket nest and received multiple stings. By the time I reached our house, I was going into anaphylactic shock. I managed to call my neighbor four farms over, who came to take me to the nearest hospital 25 minutes away. En route, I began to lose consciousness and had great difficulty breathing. Just before passing out, I remembered the ear work and began to work my ears. The ear work brought me back to consciousness and enabled me to breathe. When I reached the ER and my hand and arm were put into blood pressure cuffs and digital oxygen meter, I began to lose consciousness again. I asked the nurse to free one hand so I could continue to work one ear until I received however you say it. She looked puzzled, but released one hand. I resumed ear work on myself and remained conscious and breathing, received my shots, and was able to leave the ER several hours later. ERT touch had done wonderful things for my two horses, but it saved my life. And I have another case that I can't find. It's written in German, and Teresa, you might have been there to hear this. It was at one of the advanced training gatherings we had. One of our practitioners was walking in the woods with her dogs and quite a ways from her car, and she was stung. And she didn't have her pen with her to give herself a antihistamine. And she started instantly, her hands swelled up on her palms, her whole abdomen swelled up. She couldn't feel her head, and she just remembered the ear work and ear touch. And she started doing her ears and walking toward her car, and her feet were swollen. She said it was unbelievable. And when she got to the car, there was a couple there sitting in their car, and she just could say to them, she was able to tell them where her, you know, the pen was to give herself a shot. And she says there's no way she would have died from this. I really want you to hear these things and put them in your back pocket, because when you are in a situation that is life-threatening, it cannot hurt you. That is one of the things about this ERT touch. And I want to, first of all, I'm going to ask if there are any of you who have a story like that that you want to share, that in a situation where you could help yourself or help someone else. Teresa?
Actually, I have a very similar situation. I was driving home from the TAC training in Bioschwan, and I was quite a little tired, so I was eating some dry fruit and with almonds. And I was driving and I was eating just to keep awake, and suddenly I felt burning down in my stomach, and I couldn't really breathe very well. I was on the motorway and just passed one way to go out, to go to a hospital, whatever. So I stopped on a parking place, and there was a German couple with a mobile home. And I said, "Are you going away immediately?" "So yes." "Can you stay a little bit while I was walking and I did my ear work, the ear touch. I was calling on Bert and saying, "I really had a tough situation, and it went on a top of saying, I was really scared also that I would have real problems." And suddenly I felt like, I did with both hands actually. I really did very, very strong ERT touch. And then I said, okay, now I think I can drive to the next doctor or hospital, whatever. And I will take 10 minutes and 10 minutes and doing even some ear touch while I was driving. I came home and it was gone. I know that I don't have to eat almonds anymore, because that was an allergy.
Wow.
And really, and you know, when it burns, you feel it really until to the stomach, and it's for sure it would go past also if you want to, but to be scared about breathing is really, it's tough. So thank you for the ERT touch.
Thank you.
And also to, it's not only to make it mechanically the ERT touch. I really sent some messages with my fingers through the ear to say to the whole body.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the advantages of having this group together like this, where we can actually stay connected with each other, as opposed if we were in a room all together, we would not be this present. It's so interesting. So we have a better chance of remembering some of these experiences and touches. So welcome, Megan. We were just talking about some of the uses of T-Touch in emergency situations. And what I would like to do is turn this over and ask just small ways. What are some of the small ways some of you have been able to either share this with someone else, or possibly share it with one of your animals, but preferably with yourself in some way? Sarah, let me ask you, because I woke up this morning thinking of our conversation and thinking, start doing the ear T-Touch, systematically talking to your whole body, because you've got to be shocky. And let's just all try it. And Marnie, I'll catch you in a moment. We start down at the lobe. Now, why at the lobe? If you look at the connections in our body, the head, there's a, like you'll see in the ear illustrations, you'll see a fetus, and the head is down here in the earlobe, and the feet are up around the top. So you go and just feel your head. Now you go into this little beautiful little bowl here, this little conch, and under the top side of my finger, that's a point for lungs, so you can breathe, and heart. And be kind to your heart right now, Sarah. And up higher, in the middle, on the back of the ear, you feel a little divot. And in right there, that's the entrance to the trigeminal nerve. And that gets that gives you the feeling around your mouth, your nose, your taste, your sight. It's all up here, it's everywhere. And then you go up to the top. So it's like you're talking to your whole body with this. Now, when you're in shock, you don't care, but sometimes it's helpful to know, oh, I can reach every part of me. And Sandra, I hadn't thought about this before, but looking, it would be all of us, interesting to like talk to all the nerves in our eyes, yeah? And all this wonder that our eyes are down here in the lobe. And just celebrate our ears. What I'm thinking about right now reminds me of this woman I was having a facial in Germany, and I had a couple of times from this woman, and boy, she didn't look very good. Like she was like, looked like she was holding herself together. And I asked her if she was okay. And she said, actually, she's had a migraine for like 3 days, but she had to work. So I said, would you like me? She knew who I was. Would you like me to just do a little bit of, just give me 2 minutes on your ear? And I did really gentle work on her ears. And I just did the whole ear, because I believe it's useful from my experience to do everywhere. And I very gently, I'd say with a not more than a 2 pressure, because man, when you have a migraine, it's so sensitive. And I just did these really, really gentle. And I don't think I did a slide, because if I was working with a migraine, I wouldn't want someone sliding on my ear. And it just, color came into her face, her eyes got brighter. I mean, I think I worked 3 minutes. And she was able to continue and to breathe. And man, she was really like holding her, having a tendency to limit her breathing. And so just kind of keep that little story, or just headaches. I mean, the natural thing with the headache is to do T-touches around the head or the hair slides after you've done the slides. But you can also do it with the ear T-touch. And I recommend doing both. Does anyone have any questions about that before I give the floor to Marnie? And if it brings something up after Marnie speaks, speak. Marnie, unmute yourself.
Okay, is that?
Yep.
Okay. Well, mine is really very simple, but it shows how much T-touch is going to be such a part of your life. I hauled horses for years and showed everywhere and for other people and whatever. And those can get to be long and you hate to stop a lot and you'd like to get them there. And it's easier at night anyway, but I learned after, I think it was the way home from Galisteo, that and I quite often would drive with other people, but do they ever go to bed and sleep on the way home from
and you were driving home to Texas.
Yeah, right, from Galisteo, which is near San Fe. Yeah, near San Fe. Right. And I was thinking about some of the things you said, and I was having trouble keeping my eyes open, and I knew this wasn't smart, and there's nothing to see as you're driving across Texas. Anyway, and so I thought, well, and so I thought, well, maybe I'll do those little circles around my eyes. And I couldn't believe it. I was able to keep driving, and it also was something you could do while you drive, one hand and then the other. But it was stunning, and it was wonderful, and enabled me to do something, you know, that was pretty important. Safety is important, but stopping in the middle of nowhere was also going to be a problem. And it was a real gift from the clinic. So.
And it's really interesting. I mean, I cannot believe that I have not thought to do T-touch on my eyes, because I have bleeding under my retina. And they're giving injections. I'm getting injections like, you know, every 6 weeks to try to stop that. I really wonder about those. And so, like, why am I not talking to the intelligence of my eyes? I didn't. So thank you for that.
Well, you now reminded me, after I did finally have eye surgery, and it wasn't an easy one. It had to be, wasn't laser and whatever, but I forgot how much that helped me afterwards. That was years later, but that helped me recover. And I had to do both eyes at the same time. So I was kind of blind. And so that was an amazing thing to be able to do for them afterwards. And you know, if you do your eyes and look outside afterwards, or if you're outside, you wouldn't believe the colors and how it intensifies the greenery and what you're seeing. It's amazing. But anyway, it's been a real gift from T-Touch.
Thank you for sharing that. And it's so often that it's in these emergency situations that we wind up doing this sort of thing. Ava, have you had any opportunity to use T-Touch in the weeks? Have you thought about it?
I am not talking because it doesn't work on me. So I was just thinking, is it a psychological block that I'm making? Is it because T-Touch has been taking my mom away from me? Is it what it is that I just feel I'm in a period when I feel so bad, so sensitive of thing, and I don't see the beauty, and I don't see the wonders in me, and I feel like my life is stopped, and I don't want to stop the Feldenkrais again, and I sleep all day, and And I do it, and I have diarrhea for more than a week. And last week, the whole session, I did the tea touch on my belly, and I thought, okay, I made it, and I don't. And when I try to pass it on to my friends who suffer all kinds of things, it doesn't work either. So I feel like, is it something you believe? Is it something that you believe so much, just like when we take medicine and we go, so I went to a doctor, to another doctor, my leukocyte level was very low and I was totally out of my mind. And then another doctor told me, no, it's just that the curve is like that. And so I'm just like a flying soul where I don't know what to believe and what not to, and I don't see, I don't feel better. So, and I can't pass it on. So what is it?
Ava, thank you. And that's my intuition, knowing how important it is to ask you. Because I have certainly felt that way in the last month also. Not that tea touch it wasn't working, but that I wasn't working. And the fact is, tea touch is not enough when we have imbalances in our body that need attention. And it's so hard. It takes so much perseverance and blessed and good fortune to find a doctor who can help you. I mean, this is one of the things that today I've been going to share with you for weeks what's going on for me. And there were, until yesterday, I didn't know if I was going to be able to continue teaching in person, because I've been so unstable and so unsteady. I mean, I can still talk to myself and I can do the gratitudes, but I didn't have the hope. And I went back to my doctor, my naturopathic doctor, a week ago. I haven't seen her for a year. And I wasn't doing well at all. And she looked at my blood test, because I did again the blood test, and my progesterone should be 1500 whatever's, and I'm 152. And she said, all of the signs, like I'm telling you, there were days when there's no way I would have gone outside if my little dog didn't look at me like, can't we go for a walk? And I would force myself. I mean, I had to force one step ahead of the other sometimes. And then the weirdest thing is I'd sleep for a while and then I'd be totally okay. And so that progesterone, I mean, come on, I'm working, and I went to this Iris Integrative Health people. The wife is a naturopath and her husband is an integrative medical doctor, Buzz Hollander. And he likes to be called Buzz, not Dr. Hollander. And he's a very interesting person. And I thought maybe it was my heart, because I want to show you something. I want to show you some of the things that have been working for me. That is 3M paper cloth. And I would wake up at night with such a dry mouth from breathing through my mouth. And you're told, you know, because I have low oxygen, I'm supposed to sleep with one of these, you know, oxygen things, which I didn't want to do. So I did this. And you just, that's how my husband and I sleep. And he doesn't snore anymore. And he sleeps through the night. And this is such a simple thing that it's one of the things that's really helped me. And I learned it from the book, To Breathe. It's one of the things he suggests, instead of going on one of these CPAC things. So I'm telling you this because tea touch is great, but for certain things, And it doesn't, when we need to get some balance in our body, what I'm doing for my low oxygen, because I have an oximeter, which I really, I mean, everybody I talk to, all the different medical people I talk to says, check with an oximeter. And I run around 92 or 93. They say you've got to be above 95. And so again, I told this now to my naturopathic doctor, and she put me on this stuff. I'm going to show you. It's so simple and it works. This is chlorophyll complex. Chlorophyll. Interesting. And I take 3 in the morning and 3 at night. And by the third day, I'm starting, instead of starting at 93, 92. And I mean, it said like, if you're below 95, you need help. And now I'm starting at 95 and I actually went to 99. And I've only done that, I mean, once when I was doing a lot of breathing, trying to get it up there. So I'm telling you all this because I've been dealing with these things with health for really paying attention for years. I'm working with my nurse practitioner who's been taking care of me for like 25 years from Santa Fe. She's the one that when I insisted that I do, the doctor didn't tell me this. None of these doctors did. I did one of these, it's a 3-day fecal check. And you dig around in your feces and send them off to a lab. And they check the parasites and bacteria and candida in your GI tract. And so it turns out that I had this unfriendly bacteria. And if I hadn't, the only reason that I knew to check that is because 30 years ago when I had chronic fatigue syndrome, I had an amazing doctor at that point, and she had me check the candida. Now I'm telling you again all this because I work with a naturopathic doctor, an integrative doctor. I have a wonderful homeopathic doctor, but she's in Germany, unfortunately. And like, even with the homeopathics, they're wonderful, but doggone it, if you have imbalances in your progesterone and estrogen levels, just for one thing, or you're not getting enough vitamin D, which you can see from the blood tests, or you're low in B's, or any place where you're out of balance, you need to get that part taken care of. I called Pam Beat. Some of you know Pam. She has been doing T-Touch since the 90s. I called her this morning because I wanted her to come in and share her journey, because she's been fighting to be able to work for like 15 years. I cannot figure out what's wrong with her. And nobody has checked her estrogen progesterone level because she got the impression from doctors that, first of all, my doctor said, MDs don't check it because they think that it's not important in women after the menopause. And she had the impression from the doctors, again, it's just not important. And it's our thyroid is the regulator, but it has all to do with the gut stuff, the gut health that we have. All of this is connected. And finding a doctor who can look at these, Eleanor Silverstein, she's amazing. And so I always send her my blood test because she says, look at this, you know, your T3 and your T4, they're off. And she's been doing this for years, paying attention to this. And she's the one who got me on the estradiol many years ago when I had like such dry vaginal tissue that it was like really terrible. And vaginal inserts. These are things that sharing our, especially in this day and age, our journeys. And it's so important, Ava, to have us listen to you, and because it does feel hopeless. after yesterday, it's the first time I have hope that I will be able to feel normal, because I felt normal all day. I'm like normal meaning energy. I could think. I didn't have brain fog. I didn't have a crash during the day. It was amazing. So I wonder, do you have like the possibility in Israel of finding a naturopathic doctor?
Well, I have a friend who's doing the aromatherapy, and she's also working in a lab. So she looked at my test. She looked at my result, sent them to her, and she said, first, before I say anything, do it again, because there are always mistakes. There's sometimes mistakes, and there are changes from one result to another. And she says, before I can say anything about the test, you know, I mean, she was not alarmed, but she said, before I can say anything, you do it 2 or 3 times. And then we know what we're talking about.
Have you done that?
No, because she told me that yesterday, so, and I got the result also yesterday, so... I will go by, you know, I will ask my doctor to prescribe another analysis and blood test. I'm not even sure he'll want to, but, you know, we'll see. She said it's done. It's usually done in Israel, but they try again, because sometimes there's a mistake in the testing and the product they use, or some. So that's what she said. And,
You're so lucky that you have that friend to advise that, because one of the standard things, for instance, like when I was 24, I was feeling like you. I couldn't move like this. I felt like I had to walk around holding my eyes up to be able to keep my eyes open. I was so exhausted. I was running a riding school for instructors. We were working from 6 in the morning till, well, I could go to bed at 10, that was okay. But I mean, I had no energy. I went to a doctor, and first of all, I said, you're as healthy as a horse. I said, if I had a horse like this, I would shoot it. This is crazy, because he hadn't checked my thyroid. So someone said, you got to go and have this longer check on your thyroid. So I did it. And he said, your thyroid is absolutely not functioning. I'm going to put you on this medication. You'll be on it for the rest of your life. And I said, thank heaven. Thank you very much. And I went home and I got the book by Adele Davis. And I started taking these without any blood tests. I didn't know any better. I'm following the book and taking so many supplements, because I had done nothing to that. Nothing. I never had any supplements, and I was really working hard, and my body was obviously depleted. And in about 2 months, I was totally okay, and I was okay for years. Mm-hmm. And now the same thing, like the problem is, like some doctors will say, here, take this thyroid medication. And that may be that there's all kinds of other imbalances that you have to look at, like the gut thing, like if you have parasites. My friend, one of my really close friends, is one of my medical advisors, is she's a doctor of oriental medicine. She's dealing with extreme, like 3 really weird kind of cancers, and they don't know if chemo will help it. So she's working with a naturopath, with a healer, and is really helping her and doing a lot of cleansing. And this is somebody who's paid attention for 25 years that I know of. She's been careful about what she ate, what the supplement she took, and she has these cancers. And after the cleanse, she said in the toilet came a 12-inch worm.
Wow.
Yes. Now, but no indications of this. And the reason I'm telling you all this, man, we don't have a chance to share these things. And it's really interesting. Thank heaven for your friend, is all I can say.
Yeah, I will get in touch with her and do another testing and see what we can do. And
And looking at the balance of, you know, like vitamin D, the zinc, all of these things that, like, for my eyes, no doctor that I've been talking to has told me that vitamin A is great for your eyes. And I went to another doctor because I'm not happy with these people, these eye doc, this eye clinic that I've been going to. So I'm going to tell you this. So I get the injection like about 4 weeks ago. So I'm supposed to have it every 6 weeks. And he tells me, well, it's the stuff they put in chemotherapy when they give you chemotherapy. Boy, that makes me feel really good, right? Going into my eye.
Yeah.
Jesus, I didn't need to know that. And then, so he puts the injection in and I get this huge bubble in my eye. And I said, why? This is my fourth injection. It's never happened before. Why do I have this bubble in my eye? Oh, I got, it must be air in the needle. Anybody who gives needles to an animal knows you make sure you don't get air before you put the injection in. I'm like freaking out. You know, like, I couldn't believe it. So I went to, anyway, I went to a new eye doctor and she is amazing. And she told me, you know, okay, you can be taking, I'm already taking supplements for macular degeneration. And I would assume any of you who are having eye problems, it says macular and it has an eye on it. It's one particular mix that everybody that I've talked to recommends the same thing. You can get it from the vitamin shop. And it's, so anyway, but she said A and nobody's told me. She also, you know, has been recommending flaxseed oil. So I'm starting on this again. And I don't know about the rest of you, who's confused? I mean, I've been on this diet for the preventing Alzheimer's for Roland, not only for Roland. I've been on it for about 4 weeks. And I mean, 4 years, sorry. And it's like avocado and all and good olive oil and stuff. And now they're saying no oil. So this is a, I don't know how many of the rest of you are at this point are confused, but I've decided to eat carefully how I feel. And I'm going to continue the oil in it. So I'm sorry, I've talked for a long time, but I really wanted to download this and make sure.
It's wonderful, Linda. I really thank you. And it will give me the energy to, you know, not just feel sorry for myself and see, okay, I'm getting old and declining and this is the end of it. And say, no, I have to find, you know, the right path and something parallel to the, you know, very stereotyped and kind of cold medical, when you just look at the results and say, no, everything is okay, don't worry, and that's it, you know. And I'm right to worry, you know. My body's saying, you know, I'm not, when I hear you, I understand, you know, I'm not my normal self, so I have to. And it's not just my mind that I want to be negative. As soon as I feel better, I know my mind is broadening up and I can help people and be positive, and they are related to.
Well, I'm so glad that I asked you because
thank you.
I know exactly how you're feeling, because what a year and a half ago, before I went to this other naturopath, I got up from the lunch table, I walked about 12 feet and I lay on the floor. I couldn't go any farther. I just lay down on the floor and couldn't move. And my one doctor, my integrative doctor, thought it was allergies. And so I started eating this and that and the other thing. And she didn't even think to have me check the blood, because I bet you at the bottom of all of this is this, you know, it's, I have an autoimmune disease of the thyroid. You know, this is, oops, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I forgot, I forgot to put my phone on there. So these things are, I just like to hear, I have a feeling, Sage, that you have something to say about all this, if you do. And I'd really like to hear from those of you. And, oh, Sarah, I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand. go ahead first, Sarah, and then.
Oh, thank you. I like the topic that Eva talked about, because it's basically be able to take care of ourselves and listen to ourselves. Because I had the same experience as I told you this morning in Hawaii, and I was feeling so tired, no energy, kind of depressed. And as soon as I came back to Italy, that I was able to check my blood, the thyroid didn't work and the vitamin D was low. So we feel like that we have no hope, everything changed color around us. But really, sometimes we need to listen to our body and take away the ideas that, oh, something wrong with me. No, nothing wrong. The body is just talking. And we are not we don't really know how to listen, because we grow up and we think that the doctor magically will change our problem. But it's like taking responsibility, and we are learning. I mean, I am learning that, because it's something that we don't learn because the teacher teach, or we are learning through Titach and Linda, I see. And then we need to trust ourselves and be the protagonist of our own healthcare, because doctors are not us. It's like the air in the needle almost. I mean, this is, oh my God, this is very like... For me, it's unbelievable to believe, of course, don't worry. And it's like, no, well, I am kind of worried now. I changed my doctor. So we are the protagonist, main character. We are the main character for our health. So Eva, thank you to talk about this topic, because it's also sometimes difficult to talk about it, honestly.
Yeah, and also... We talk about the Israeli medicine that is so on top of everything. And it's true that in certain fields, when you are desperate and close to death, they will do miracles. They are doing. But for the small things, you know, what they consider small things, you know, it's so inhuman. It's non-human they have a certain... You know, and I even refer to a private doctor who has helped me with my mom and everything. And she's the one who called me down, who said there's nothing wrong with the curve and everything. So she, but the public, you know, the medicine is like it's a factory kind of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And yes, you have some doctors who are a bit different, but it's the system. It's just... destroying the humanity, doctors, and it's just a big, huge business, and it's terrifying to see that it is.
Well, and think about it. That is your MDs, because they are supported and financed by the drug companies, but the naturopaths are not. And Kirsten, could you please look up Google the definition for a naturopathic doctor, because I was so surprised. I've never known, and I have it somewhere. I took a picture of what their belief is, and it's completely different from an MD. An MD just treats the symptoms. I mean, this... You see, we had an anti-aging doctor, and he's now retired. He's 2 years older than I am. And he said, Linda, look at you. Your thyroid is in normal medicine, it's on the lower end of okay. He said, what is on the lower end of acceptable by the American Medical Association? You are empty, you're down. You have no thyroid support. He said, it's off the chart in the real world. But the standard is so low in the American middle. And if I go to this doctor that I had before when my anti-aging doctor got busted for prescribing marijuana for a patient who had cancer, I went to this other young doctor up here, really nice young doctor, plant-based medicine, what they call, but he takes your blood pressure and your temperature, and it means nothing in terms of how you're feeling. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Because part of my journey with a naturopathic doctor is every day I'm supposed to take my, I was over a year, took my blood pressure, and I could be feeling terrible and have normal blood pressure. And some days when it was high, I was feeling okay. So like, how much does that tell you? Not a lot in my experience. So it's those blood tests that are really important. Did you find a definition, Kirsten? Could you read it to us, please?
It's not easy. So I just posted one from Wikipedia.
Yeah, can you read it?
Naturopathic medicine is a form of alternative medicine, which we know. It employs an array of pseudo-scientific practices branded as natural.
Listen to this. Can you believe that? Pseudoscience, right?
Non-invasive or promoting self-healing. The practices of naturopaths, the practitioners of naturopathic medicine vary widely and are difficult to generalize. Treatments range from outright quackery like homeopathy to widely accepted.
Stop. Unbelievable. Like quackery, like homeopathy. And anybody who knows homeopathy knows this is not quackery. Never mind, don't read anymore. This is useless information. And of course it wouldn't be on Wikipedia. I will try to find it for next
week. There's so many different ones. So if you go to a naturopathic site, then it's very positive. So it really depends what you want.
I want what a naturopath believes from the naturopathic point of view, what they believe that what their goal is. So, it's so interesting. The journeys that we have. So thank you, Sarah. And the fact is that Sarah, like, I'm dealing with what they call the Hashimoto's. Do they call it that?
Yeah, it's the same thing that I'm dealing with, the Hashimoto, because it's the autoimmunity disease that is eating your thyroid. Yeah, we call it. And it's actually nice because I studied a little bit of metamedicine from Claudia Ranville. I don't know if it's popular in US too. It's very popular in Europe. And the thyroid issue is connect with when we feel that we are not able to be, when we are not able to take care of ourselves fully, and when we have a fault in something, it's like feeling guilty for something. So it's interesting because when you look the psychosomatic medicine, the metamedicine, usually you find something about your story as a human. That the body just show you when you are not listening properly. I really think that the body is just a messenger for us.
Yes, for our soul.
Yeah, I'm going to look for the naturopath medicine definition in PubMed. So
perfect. That would be good.
The like contemporary science definition.
Yeah, and Kirsten, thank you for looking at that, because that's really important to hear that is the attitude toward naturopath from MDs. Because look at what they learn, and it's really sad when you think about it, because they have only the influence of the pharmaceuticals. And so you can get an integrative doctor who it's different from a MD. And, you know, there are wonderful, wonderful doctors, boy. And medicine can save our lives if we have something that we need surgery for. I don't ever want to knock medicine, but it's hard. What's behind that normal training for a normal MD. Becky, I know that you've got something to say about this.
Well, so I have a couple of things for Ava, maybe. There's been a lot of research on exceptional healing, and one of the things that they've really looked at is that people's mental status really does make a difference. But if you do a deeper dive scientifically on it, that makes some sense, because every time we feel emotions, we're having this cascade of hormones and enzymes and everything gets sort of shoved out into our systems. And those are either helping, supporting, or they're fueling what I would call inflammatory fires and making things worse. And so, you know, when you said, gosh, is it in my head? There's a piece of me that wants to say, well, kind of, that there's ways that we can help by how we think. And that kind of takes me back to what Linda said in the very beginning of, you know, what are some phrases, some words that changed your life? I have sayings on my refrigerator that are, remember this, because it makes a difference in your day-to-day world. And it helps with that attitude that Sarah was talking about. So I do think that our brain is a piece of it because it's a biochemistry thing going on. And we're either creating good chemicals or we're fueling the fire. And so that's important. But I'd be the first to say that I know that place you're coming from. And what occurred to me as you were talking about tea touch in it, it took me to intention. And I know that over the years, I have come into a different relationship to intention. When Linda used to say that, I used to be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm beginning to believe more and more that's one of the most critical pieces of tea touch. And when I'm in a really crappy place, it's hard to have that level of intention. And one of the sort of tricks that I would recommend is go let somebody who really has good intention for you work on you. I know people who teach tea touch, and when I can't get my brain in the right zone with intention, I'll say, hey, would you work on me? And all of a sudden it works better. And so I don't think that's a placebo piece. I think that their intention improved the quality of the tea touch in the first place.
Thank you, Becky. And a couple of things to remember is, in the book, Molecules of Emotion by Dr. Candace Pert, she says that it's the chemical connections from our body that makes us think that something is in our head, that we feel pain. And it's actually these chemicals. And I was this one of the things, Ava, that it's been a year and a half ago when I started having trouble up our 13 steps, and I think saying to Roland, holy mackerel, I'm having trouble getting up off the floor because I also have orthoarthritis. How can I possibly have that? Because I don't have physical pain, right? So anyway, so what does my husband say? What do you expect? You're 84. I was 83 at the time. That's what we think. Now, what happens? I think that's true because our bodies get out of balance. Our hormones are not in balance, first of all. And getting a doctor who understands that thyroid and understand that you can't just give a thyroid medication because you've got to take care of the gut. And when you have unfriendly bacteria, which my wonderful naturopathic doctor didn't think to say, oh, which bacteria are they? Anything special we can do for that? And I call my nurse practitioner. She said, what are they? I tell her, she said, you need this for that. And that's why it takes a village and a lot of different aspects of looking at all this thing is invited. And Sandra, I'm thinking about our eyes, this eye thing that we get. It's related to the gut. That whole, you know, beautiful vagus system, the gut, the lung, the heart, the all of this stuff. What a thing, isn't it, that it's all related? It's so funny that it would even be a question, but we don't think about that. And
I agree with that, Linda. I totally agree with that.
So Sandra, I would suggest before we let's look at this. I at your whole, like your bees, and look at that natural, look at other things, support for your body. So we need a little break. Let's take a 10-minute break. And when we come back, I'd like to just start. We're going to do some chi touch, and I'm going to see what comes to me when we come back. Let's ask our angels. And if anyone has a special request, you're it. So.
Oh, Linda, I got the definition. If we want to read it before we do the.
Yes. Great.
Okay.
Perfect.
So naturopathy, well, with my pronunciation, with my accent, of course, naturopathy is a traditional system of healthcare based on core philosophical principles that.
On what? Sorry. Wait. What's the
core philosophical principles? Sorry, my pronunciation.
That's okay. No, it's charming. Never mind.
That uses an eclectic range of natural therapies delivered by medically trained practitioners. That's the basic definition. Currently, naturopathic practitioners offer naturopathic blah, blah, blah. Let me see, where is that? Okay, and globally, naturopathic practitioners provide care to diverse populations for a range of acute and chronic health conditions, health promotion and disease prevention, key aspect of primary health care that nobody is actually doing, are core principles of the naturopathic profession, with a naturopathic practitioner emphasizing lifestyle-based self-care, nutrition, preventive behaviors, physical activity and stress management counseling, alongside therapeutic medicaments such herbal, clinical nutrition, and homeopathy, and manual therapies. So basically, T-Touch can be inside the naturopathic world.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can send also the link, so if we want to.
Yeah, it's good. Thank you. And what I saw, I'm going to try to find, it's an oath that naturopaths take, which I read that was so beautiful. And it's about getting to the bottom, looking at the whole picture. So what I would like to bring to that, I'll do it when I come back. Ava, you had a thought.
No, did you? That's fine. You're thank
good.
You.
Okay, good. All right, it's 10 after. We'll come back at 20 after. I'll stop the recording.